Hello and welcome to Tank Riot episode 4 with me, Victor. As always, we have Tor and Sputnik. Today's topics are going to be Plan Columbia, and Sputnik's going to delve back into the avian flu. Tor actually saw a movie, and he'll be reviewing Serenity. And since it is Halloween, and hopefully a few people will hear this before Halloween, we're going to do a roundup of 20 great Halloween horror films. So strap on your helmet, and it'll be a fun ride.
America for 300 years has been the land of promise for the rest of the world. The land of new frontiers, new opportunities.
Hey, we can't help you to get up.
Clicking sounds. Sounds that reveal the presence of radioactive rays. The instrument, a Geiger counter, is converting radioactivity into sounds we can hear.
Hey, what the hell with it?
Start right off with Sputnik and Plan Columbia.
Good day. All right. Plan Columbia, of course, is our other foreign policy debacle. What it essentially is a $3 billion U.S. effort to attack cocaine at its source, of course, in Colombia. However, what this has boiled down to is that we fund and train all of the Colombians that we need to try to fight cocaine. This also includes using poison spray like paraquat and so forth, which of course does not affect the cocaine fields, but or the coca fields, I should say, but only the small farmers who are trying to feed their families. Even a small kitchen or village that is producing cocaine can produce as much as 2 metric tons a week. Unfortunately, U.S. satellites are useless because Colombia, being a rainforest, essentially, there's cloud cover all the time. So
right,
it's got to be
gonna see anything.
Nothing. So it's on the field intelligence. And what it is now is that in Colombia, there are no longer cartels like the Medellin and Cali cartels. Pablo Escobar, who ran the Medellin cartel, very famous in the 70s and 80s. That's all gone. The Cali cartel enjoyed a little bit of a renaissance in the 90s. Mainly they sold to Europe. But it's pretty much now between the paramilitary right-wing groups and the Marxist guerrillas, otherwise known as the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC.
So are we supporting the right-wing
FARC.com
groups?
FARC.com is behind this?
Yes. Yeah, FARC. FARC is everywhere.
I knew you were evil.
Just quit farking.
What's interesting about this, though, is that it's sort of a holdover of the Cold War, and yet in another way, it's sort of the War on Terror, because at first they were described as, you know, they were Marxist guerrillas, so of course that couldn't be allowed, but now they're narco-terrorists.
Ooh,
so, of course, that fits
that
in beautifully.
That sounds very scary.
Oh, yes. I mean,
I think the Department of Homeland Security should be all over that.
Absolutely. If not FEMA.
Yes.
So, which is doing a bang-up job in Florida, by the way.
Again, yes.
Yes. All right. I used to think, well, you know, rich white people, Jeb is the governor, obviously everything would be okay. Not so much. Yeah. Back to Plan Columbia. So, the United Nations and the Americans say that the cocaine has been cut in half over the last 5 years, but there's a lot of well-placed officials in Colombia who say, well, no, the UN observations aren't correct, and there's a lot more coca that's certainly being grown.
Yeah, by cut in half, do you mean with a razor blade on a mirror?
Yeah, pretty much, exactly so. But it seems that despite the claim that the cocaine growth has fallen away dramatically, it's simply being pushed over the borders into Peru and Bolivia, where the figures for the coca production are in fact rising. Also, we have two corruption scandals. A group of U.S. soldiers was caught trying to smuggle around $1.8 million worth of cocaine out of the country and into Texas. So this sounds like a nice little homegrown.
It's like Three Kings.
Absolutely.
I got a job to do.
And meanwhile, then two other officers were trapped by Colombian police as they tried to sell ammunition in a deal with the paramilitary death squads. So fun to be had all around. Meanwhile, weapon systems are being sold down there. The old patrol boats that you see in Apocalypse Now are patrolling the rivers. Black Hawk helicopters, military advisors, you name it. So so essentially we have Iraq, Afghanistan, Colombia, our big three, our triumvirate of foreign policy disaster. Now to a lighter topic, the killer flu update.
One question on that. Now we are capturing some of the cocaine down there.
Capturing and destroying. Although I'm sure some is being partitioned off for miscellaneous uses.
Like now, White House?
Recreational? Who can say? Although, you know, the word is that George is back on the bottle, but, you know, that's just a rumor.
It's probably root beer.
He has been yelling at people, though.
Yeah, that is the rumor.
Yeah. He's been very short. Well.
Let's not play the playing game.
No.
Frankly, he does have a lot of people to yell at.
That's true. That's very true. But back to the killer flu update. It seems that...
We should have killer flu update theme music. Killer flu. All right. What's the latest in the killer flu?
Well, the bird flu was found in swans in Croatia, plus a parrot that was in quarantine in Britain was also found to have H5N1. It died. Plus four more people in Asia died from contact with H5N1, the killer flu. Mm-hmm. So it does seem to be... spreading into Europe. The European Union now has banned the importation of any exotic birds for sale as pets in the 25 nation block. Also, any live birds, I think, you know, for any other purposes are pretty much out of the question. So it does seem like it's getting a foothold in Europe. No real word yet on the Middle East or Africa, but I'm sure they have many more problems other than the killer flu. This will just be one more thing to add. So, in short, killer flu moving through the bird populations rapidly, not making the biggest toehold in the human populations, but give it time, people. Thanksgiving is coming. Tor!
Cook that turkey thoroughly.
Do you have a little something that you could offer us on the movie that you saw?
That's right, folks.
Is it Star Wars episode...
7.
7.
No. There's no episode 7.
3 is coming out on November 4th, though.
Ooh, DVD?
Yes.
All right. Anyway, I saw the movie Serenity last Friday, and in short, I liked it. It was just a thoroughly enjoyable movie from start to finish. There weren't any dull moments, and it really captured my imagination. Now, as most of you already know, Serenity is based on the television show Firefly, which I have basically never seen. It was on TV for like 5 minutes, and I looked at it and didn't look interesting, so I didn't really watch it.
You know, it came out on DVD a while back, and I managed to see... at least 3/4 of the episodes before I decided, you know what? I think I've seen enough of the episodes. You know how TV is. They get it all set up. You know the characters. It's all going, and you can just go. They never got to finish it, so it's just like a lot of these TV series on right now, like Invasion and Surface and all these shows. You just set up your characters, and then you ride it, and you hope you can get 15 seasons and never solve the problem, just like X-Files, or never come to any conclusion, and then... I mean, gosh, if we concluded something, we'd have to write another plot for next season, and I'm not going to go through that hassle. But anyway, Joss Whedon never got to that point, so it never got to a conclusion at the end of the season. So, I mean, if you see the, if you rent the DVD and just check out a first couple of the episodes and then go see the movie, you know enough, but you can also never have seen any of the TV series.
Yeah, I don't
TV
think
series.
You
oh, really. So
you,
it stands on itself.
You don't even have to know that it was a TV show.
Right.
It stands by itself.
Right. I saw the movie yesterday, and I really liked it as well. But having been a fan and knowing how the dialogue tends to work and knowing the jargony dialogue of the outer planets and all that and how everyone deals with each other and their personalities... I was just laughing, and I knew the characters already, and I knew how Jane was going to react, and I loved how Mal was going to, interact with everyone, and I thought it was a really, really great film, but you go.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you thought of it.
It was excellent. And if I understand it correctly, the timeline sequence starts at first before the TV show occurred, and then it jumps ahead to then after the TV show.
Oh,
right.
So essentially the movie skips all the little middle part that that you don't really have to see. You may want to see it after you see the movie, but you don't have to see.
Okay.
Yeah, the stuff that comes before is about River and her upbringing in this strange academy where they
she was
mess
a
with
fascinating
her head a lot.
Character, I thought.
Yeah, she was a great character, and she was the big drag of the series because they never did anything with her during the series, really. I mean, she was just spooky and weird, but all these episodes of the plot kept going on around her, and you knew there was some plot behind it.
There's
and
a lot of plot behind it.
Yeah, Serenity, yeah. The movie, the Firefly series a chance to unleash that plot, and then they added some other things like about the Reavers, who are these horrible space pirates, lovable, cuddly, horrible space pirates. Space pirates. Come on, I mean, how can you go wrong? But they did some great stuff with the Reavers.
As a science fiction fan, they really used a lot of classical science fiction themes in this movie. But they kind of twisted them all around, and it's not your typical sci-fi plot. So things come in a different order, and it makes it really interesting and refreshing.
What I liked was there were so many Han Solo kind of moments. There were so many moments where someone didn't pull out their, I am a great person of great honor. It was a lot of Han Solo moments of shoot him before he can shoot you and get out, or the whole idea of going into a trap and a lot of these great plot devices were really well done, and it kind of took the whole thing and put it on its ear in a way that George Lucas is totally incapable of doing.
Well, I do have one question though. I, Sputnik, have never seen Firefly or Serenity. It sounds like it's good science fiction, good, fast-moving, solid plot, good character development, solid characters. But before, I sit down and commit to watching the DVDs and going to see the movie, I just got to ask, is there any reasonable nudity? I mean, is there some eye candy?
Not especially. Not especially. I mean, there's eye candy, but it's...
This is about plot and action.
Okay.
And...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what's a recent sci-fi film that had a good load of nudity?
Yeah, you just
for
don't
you?
See
good
that
nudity.
A lot
in, good nudity.
Sci-fi.
Well, that's not always true.
Yeah.
I'm
waiting for the uncut Lex DVD to come out.
Oh yeah, obviously. Oh, the original Star Trek. Man, they pushed that envelope as far as they possibly could.
No, this was different. This was you had burnt out warriors who had fought a rebel battle against the Alliance government and lost. This is 500 years in the future, and then been forced to be kind of rum runners and shady dealers and traffickers out on the outskirts and the outer planets.
It's kind of an intellectual
you can get away with
movie.
That kind of thing. And
sounds good.
If you're stupid, I don't think you should go.
Okay. Well,
I hear Doom is opening.
Oh yeah!
I saw the preview, and I am not a video game player, but that is one video game that I have played.
I almost snuck into it on my way out. If I didn't have commitments, I probably would have snuck into Doom and just seen it. I mean, the BFG, I remember playing on what was it, Windows 95? The Wolfenstein, the birth of the first person shooter. Right. But when I saw the preview for Doom, and I saw him holding the chainsaw or whatever, and I'm like, they're trying to make it a first-person movie? Give me a break. I mean, it's a movie. It's not a video game. We're not here to play. We're here watch a movie, Don't make me sit in the theater and pretend I'm holding a freaking joystick, because I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm watching The Rock. I'm watching the and
Rock.
Smelling what The Rock is cooking. And, I'm hoping it's a BFG. So I'll see that. I'm sure I'll rent it. But if you had to... I was thinking on my Victor scale about Serenity... And I was thinking about giving it somewhere around an 8.3. Because I really felt it was the best sci-fi that I've seen in a long time.
Well, look, that's like a full Victor scale point above Batman Begins. And there was no nudity.
I know. And there was nudity in Batman Begins?
It was a good movie.
No, there was Katie Holmes who actually brought Batman Begins down,
in
my opinion.
Oh, don't get me started.
When you talk about the sex in Batman Begins, you know, I'm not into dudes, but Katie Holmes was not a great actor, you know, and she didn't really bring a lot to the film. She actually brought it down. You have the sex pot in the film that makes the film suck a little bit. But all the guys acted great and made a great movie, and it was well-written and well-directed and a great film.
Okay.
And since I rated that one, I thought about bringing it up a little bit, but I'm just going to stick with my original score. But
alrighty then.
I'll go 8.3 with Serenity because I love all these unknown actors. I mean, Nathan Fillion and all the other actors who are virtually unknowns, and they come from nowhere, basically, and Joss Whedon threw them together in this Firefly series.
But he did grab
series.
That veteran from, what was his, Barney Miller?
Barney Miller, yeah.
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 Not Barney Miller, but one of the other guys that was
Shepherd,
on the show.
Yeah, he was the black guy from Barney Miller.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until I'd seen a couple episodes. I'm like, he's from Barney Miller.
Oh, he was great. Okay.
And all the actors, I like all the actors, and they're all, I mean, there's some good eye candy there. You know, they have a companion escort in the film that rides with the Serenity crew. And
okay.
I don't know. I really think you should see it because it is probably the best sci-fi I've seen in a long time.
Sounds good.
Really, definitely a good film.
Well, Victor, I'm anxious to hear this this horror movie list you have.
Okay, well, since Halloween's coming up, I wanted to run through horror movies, and I thought about, you know, great lists of horror movies and the great horror movies, and, you know, the greatest there ever were and all that. And I thought rather than go to your Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, who am I missing? Because I know I'll hear about it if I don't mention...
Lon Chaney,
yeah, there you go. I mean, you've got some greats. You've got some classics. You've got Nosferatu. You've got some really old school horror movies.
Yes.
And I thought it'd be fun to revisit the movies that I saw growing up. So I'm giving away a secret here. I was born in 1971, and I decided I was only going to look at horror movies that were made in my lifetime. So every film on this list that I thought of are 20 great films that were made from 1971 or later. Which means I can't include films like Day of the Triffids or
That's okay.
Psycho. You know, there are some funny horror movies and campy horror movies that had to get left off. But what I also thought would be fun about talking about these horror movies was I try to go over them very quickly. So interrupt me if you want. I'm going to try to list off horror movies in chronological order. With a little brief synopsis of why I think they're great horror movies and you should go see them. For any horror buffs, I'm sure I'm missing a few. You can email us at feedback@tankriot.com and let me know if you have any additions because I'll gladly add them. I had to limit it to 20 because you know, there are so many, and there are some that I love that I totally left off, and there's a few mentions. They'll get mentioned on the way. But the first film I wanted to mention on my list of 20 is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Of course.
Which is the first slasher movie that was made actually... Well, the first great slasher movie that was made after 1971. Mm-hmm. So Psycho, I think, is the great and first, you know, slasher movie ever that gave the birth to the genre. So Tobe Hooper directed the film. It's a low-budget slasher flick that I don't need to say anything more about other than it's great. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a wonderful horror film. The next one, two happened in 1978. So 1978, we had Halloween. This is John Carpenter's first film, and John Carpenter's first of several appearances on this list. So I'm realizing when I threw these together, I'm like, wow, I'm a huge John Carpenter fan. This is the birth of Mike Myers wearing a William Shatner Halloween mask, which
That's
is painted
right.
white. Mm-hmm. So for you Star Trek buffs, you might want to check out this one. Jamie Lee Curtis's first role of a couple, several, in the horror genre as the heroine of the film. And yeah, this was a great slasher film of the psycho gone overboard. 1978 also brought us Invasion of the Body Snatchers, directed by Philip Kaufman. This is a remake of the 1950s one, but I love this one because it had Donald Sutherland.
Oh, yeah.
It had Leonard Nimoy, and it had Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum was in
That's right.
as well. And I thought this was eerie and freaky, and it was a great horror movie. So that's on my list as well. 1979, our fourth film here is Alien. Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
This is the first appearance on this list of Lance Henriksen, who...
Yes. Oh, the master.
Yes. Of millennium fame. and Sigourney Weaver. This was a wonderful, wonderful movie. Now, probably the first horror movie I ever saw chronologically was number five. In 1980, John Carpenter directed The Fog, and this was the original.
That's right.
I remember watching this when it came out on HBO, which might have been 81. I was maybe 10, maybe 9,
oh, yeah.
And it was a horrifying film, and this was really great. This also starred Jamie Lee Curtis again, and this was a great, great team in the horror slasher genre.
In which movie?
She was in The Fog.
Jamie Lee Curtis? Mm-hmm. I think that was Adrienne Barbeau.
Well, we'll have to double check, but yeah. I believe it was Jamie Lee Curtis.
In The Fog?
Yep.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that was Adrienne Barbeau.
This will go to fisticuffs.
Ah!
All right, we'll get back to that one.
A little fog on the actors on The Fog. You can check me on that later.
This is also the year that Friday the 13th showed up.
Yes.
So, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was back in 1974, and then Friday the 13th showed up in 1980. I'm not putting it on the list because I don't, you know, sure, it's great, but there's a point where I get sick of the, you know, figure out who the virgin is because she's going to live kind of horror genre, because Halloween didn't really have that, and I don't think The Fog really had that, and I think that's just far too cliche, and there's much too much to read into that kind of horror film, so I'm leaving it off the list, but I wanted to mention Friday the 13th started in 1980.
Well, I think the problem is, see, I never really dug Halloween that much,
mm-hmm.
and it's for the same reason I didn't like Friday the 13th, mainly because, well, for the same reason Superman pisses me off. That whole indestructibility thing.
Right.
It's like, no matter what you throw at this guy, he just keeps coming. Well, and after a while, that's not scary, that's just irritating.
Right, but that's when you get to Halloween 4, Halloween 3, you know, all those, but in the original Halloween, I thought it was really well done, and the slasher moments and the eerie moments and the moments of him, Mike Myers, as a boy, and the music. I mean, I thought Halloween just nailed the music and the frights, you know.
And Alien had good nudity.
And you just, yep, definitely. Alien, Sigourney Weaver, yeah.
That's right.
That was, yeah.
Oh, I think I saw that on TV.
Well, I mean, you know. I think I saw an edited version.
Don't ever watch an edited horror movie.
Well, the original Fog was a great movie, but it was sort of like Apocalypse Now. The payoff was just not there.
No.
I mean, the idea was so great. I mean, fog, which precedes, you know, these vicious, vengeful leper ghosts. But then when you see them, I think it was just so low budget that they had guys that had those sunglasses on that had the little red blinkers on them.
Yeah, and I'll admit this is a nostalgia pick for me because I haven't thought of The Fog. I haven't seen the original Fog in years, and I know that if I go back and see these, it's like that Onion article about Land of the Lost, nostalgia trip ruined my DVD purchase. You know, I might just hate it, you know, if I see it again, but I think back of the movies I loved.
Lost was creepy, man.
Lands right there. I loved how they kept showing that same dinosaur shot over and over again. I even caught that as a kid. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That's the same damn shot, you know?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right, so anyway, moving forward here, we're still in 1980. Another great horror film was released, and it was The Shining, Stanley Kubrick's version of a Stephen King story. And, you know, there's a lot. I mean, we could probably spend a lot of time talking about The Shining because Stephen King didn't like it. He wasn't especially thrilled by, you know, Kubrick's version. But, you know, Kubrick put a lot of work and time into every angle of this. He was the most anal retentive director, you know, when it came to making this film. You know, there's so many great trivia tidbits about this film that are just amazing. Like what the all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Right.
Stanley had those pages typed, each page individually typed. They were not like mimeographed or copied. I don't know what they did back then, but you know, it was all individually typed. And another thing he did, he made sure the kid in the movie, I forgot his name, but the boy who played Danny, didn't know he was in a horror film.
Oh.
So he made sure, and I don't know how many years later he found out he was in a horror film, but he filmed it in such a way that the boy never knew he was in a horror film. So when he rides around the corner into the horrible twins, they weren't there. And so he shot it in such a way the boy didn't. He just said, you know, act scared and cover your face and turn around, run away. You know, and,
well, what did he think it was?
I don't know.
Disney film? Yeah,
no, no, I don't
know.
It's
Herbie fully loaded.
Another thing I love is it took a long time to set up the shots with the blood flowing down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it. This took a long time to set up, and Kubrick is known for doing shots over and over and over and over again. He did it in three shots. He did it in three takes.
Is that right?
Yeah, and that was it. And the other thing about it is he wanted to use that in the trailer.
Right.
And at the time, the use of blood in a trailer was a big deal, and you couldn't get away with it. And he told him it was rusty water. It's rusty water,
nice.
And it's flowing down, and then he got to use it in the trailer. Another little tidbit is the footage of them driving up to the Overlook Hotel was used in Blade Runner. So Ridley Scott used some footage of that with Kubrick's permission. There were outtakes that, you know, he had these great helicopter shots or whatever, and they used it for the Blade Runner scene where they're driving off. And
that's great.
So, yeah, that's just awesome. But, you know, I love that film, and Stephen King, they said he had to make the TV movie version,
right?
Which I thought was a great version. It doesn't stand up to.
Wasn't that the guy from Wings?
It was, and he did a great job. And he used a mallet, and the you know, there were things like the maze wasn't in the book because the animals came to life. You know, it was these, I forget what they're called, topiary, where the animals came to life and you know, terrorized him. There were things Stephen King wanted that were in the original book that Kubrick had to change for budgeting or, you know, his own reasons he thought it should be a certain way.
I have to confess that I watched the TV adaptation because the kid that they had played Danny is this chipmunk cheek little kid that I always just loathed. I just so wanted to see him buy it. You know, I was just like, oh, yeah. Nah.
I love the Shinnin when The Simpsons covered it.
Yeah, the Shinnin.
You want us to get sued? It's the Shinnin. And that's the other thing is the Shining comes from Instant Karma. Stephen King has said in interviews that it was "We All Shine On" was the line that made him think of The Shining.
Wow.
And that's where he named it from.
That's wild.
All right, well, on from Kubrick to 1982 and the exciting An American Werewolf in London, John Landis film.
Yes.
He goes from the college experience to this is a great tongue-in-cheek comedy horror film, and I don't know.
Great special effects, I thought. You know, it really kind of defined, redefined the transformation scene. I mean, when Lon Chaney Jr. did it in The Wolfman, it was all stop action. He would just put on a little more
makeup.
Weren't
they playing Bad Moon Rising?
Yes, they were.
During the transformation scene.
CCR.
And, yeah, it's like, it's one of those movie music times that just gets in your head and you remember.
Oh, yeah. But it was great. I mean, they had the muscles pulsating and the limbs elongating and the whole face changing. Really, I thought, added a lot. And especially when all the sort of, you know, the dead characters would keep coming back. And
the
little bit more decomposed.
Yeah, the dead friend that kept coming back.
That was great.
And the nightmares. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
These were great. Oh, it surprised me very, especially with the Nazi apes or whatever. You remember
Nazi
that?
Apes.
Yeah, in the dream sequence where.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, where did that come from? There's all these German helmeted. Yeah, not something you expect in a werewolf movie.
That's right.
But so we had to have a werewolf movie in here. Also, in 1982, you know, I'm sorry about the John Carpenter fetish, but The Thing. This is
great film.
This is a great remake of another old classic.
Kurt Russell, hardest working man in horror movies.
Kurt Russell.
Okay, that's one I saw.
Kurt Russell should win an award for some of the movies he's been in, and Triumvirate. We've got Kurt Russell in Escape from New York, which is a John Carpenter 1981, and 1986's Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, great film.
If you need three movies, there's three movies.
Snake Plissken, I thought you were dead.
Snake Plissken. Oh, man, those three, that in my formative years, Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hero.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, one of the things I really liked, I thought was a nice homage, which, of course, is French for I'll rip you off right in front of you.
Yeah.
Was when they went to the Norwegian camp and they were totally decimated by the alien and everything. They played back the videotapes of what happened, and it was actual footage from the original Thing.
Awesome.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that film. And I thought what they did with special effects there was starting to... That's when horror started to push the bar. And
that's right.
You know, the Thing is a transformative... alien that can, as long as it's got blood, it can mutate,
right.
and and become, you know, anyone, and it infiltrated this Arctic base, and it's a great it's a great horror film.
Well, as long it's as a good talking... movie to watch in the winter.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That and Stalingrad.
Stalingrad.
Stalingrad's my other favorite February pick.
I just want to die now.
Okay. And then we're up to number 9. We're at 1984. The film Nightmare on Elm Street by Wes Craven came out. And, you know, it's hokey now, and it's a little bit overdone, but the original 1984 Nightmare on Elm Street was awesome. It was a great film about dreams, and this is the first time that they got in our dreams, and it was a great horror film about, you know, losing control between dream and reality, and Johnny Depp played
a
role in that film. And
first movie.
Yep.
Well, Robert Englund, though, really inhabited that role, and it had a great backstory. And while Freddy was indestructible, he had weaknesses and could be contained. Mm-hmm. So there were sort of some rules to it that made it, to me, more interesting, whereas, Jason and Michael Myers were just these kind of, you know, silent stumps that, you know, just couldn't be stopped. And as such, I just didn't think is interesting.
But... Exactly. It's true. Tor?
Tor? Your thoughts!
Tor, your thoughts!
I didn't see that one. I might have seen the second or third one, which kind of sucked.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I would say as a caveat. You know, with the Mike Myers and the Friday the 13th.
They were franchised.
Yeah, these are franchise films. And just like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Franchises not can go horribly wrong.
Even when owned and done by the same person.
Yes.
All six episodes were good.
Yeah. Okay, Phantom Menace, man, that one's pretty hard to defend.
Okay, we're back to horror here.
It had pod racing.
Back to horror here. I'm not going to let Star Wars derail my horror list.
Okay, go.
1985, we have at number 10, Fright Night, which I thought was one of the best vampire films made, in this time period. You know, there were films like The Hunger. There were other great vampire films. Thirst. There were some fun ones in there.
That's right. But this one, I think, really reinvented the genre and included late night horror show host Roddy McDowall.
Roddy McDowall was awesome in that film. And I thought Evil Ed, played by Stephen Jeffries, who is now in, apparently, I looked him up on IMDb, gay porn. But... Evil Ed. I don't think I'll see any of his other performances.
That's right.
But this was a
didn't it also
film.
Have the love interest was the woman who played Al Bundy's next door neighbor.
Oh, I forgot.
I can't think of her name now, but you know who.
Yeah, I think that might have been her.
Listeners, I'm sure you'll know exactly who I mean.
Yeah, Darcy, I'll have to look that up. Marcy Darcy,
something like that. Yeah, I think you're right.
Wow.
Great movie.
And the vampire was great, and so was his golem that he had. That guy,
You have to believe, Mr. Vincent.
It was awesome. I believe you're out of time. that was a great film, and Evil Ed pulled in
That's
a great
right.
performance. Okay, and then at number 11, we have 19, we're up to 1987 now, and we've got Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
Yes.
Skip Evil Dead, never see Evil Dead, for all you... holist collector horror fans, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Go watch your copy of Evil Dead again. It was terrible. Watch Evil Dead 2, even though it's labeled as a sequel. For any horror fan or non-horror fan, that's the only film you need to see. You see that film, you see it all. It's not really a sequel. I mean, I got to put that out there. This is Sam Raimi, who now directs Spider-Man. He's a great director. He really knows how to do things. And he had Bruce Campbell. The
that movie
ham,
made Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, the ham man with no fear. Bruce Campbell is awesome. And that's the pinnacle
to
of
Jack
his
of
career.
All trades.
Yeah, he is
awesome. Or Briscoe County.
Yeah, Briscoe County Jr. And, you know, not to mention the man with the screaming brain and what was that horrible alien invasion movie? I don't know. I think.
Speaking of Spider-Man, he was in Spider-Man.
To, yeah, he was. He was
that's
in Spider-Man.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm the man spider. Yeah. That made my day to see Bruce Campbell in Spider-Man. I was so thrilled to see him again. But Evil Dead 2 took camp and the Three Stooges horror, and it was so macabre. It was so over the top.
The camera
zombie
work was fantastic.
Horror. Yeah, it was awesome. It was psycho, and I really, if I were going to put them in order, I'd have to put Evil Dead somewhere near the top. But
I think you're right. I mean, it's one of those very rare instances where a sequel is, in fact, much superior to the original.
Yeah, I just watched the original recently. That's why I'm so vehemently opposed to watching it. And
yeah.
I just think Evil Dead 2 had more money, They had the budget to make the film they originally wanted
Better ideas.
Well, they just did the whole plot over again.
Yeah.
You know, so it starts over again, but then they added more and they did it better. And it was just, it was so much of a better film. So Evil Dead 2, great film. And so we're in this strange land of gore now with 1989. And I don't know why I put this one on. This is a nostalgia pick. Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead.
So I had to put Pumpkinhead on this list. This is Lance Henriksen's. Oh. He's back.
His opus, his masterpiece.
And he's pissed because you killed his kid and your motorcycle racers. And,
you damn kids.
And I'm going to talk to a witch and bring up a demon from hell to kill you one by one.
Was it a...
I think that's basically the plot.
But it was demon slash big-headed banjo hillbilly boy.
Yeah, he was a great demon. That's why I loved it, because he was not just I'm gonna eat you like Alien or something like that.
Yeah,
he was I'm gonna play with you a little bit because I'm a cat and you're a mouse and I'm gonna mess with you a little
bit.
It
was cool.
I'm gonna hold you down, let you squirm, and then let you go, and then I'm gonna kill you.
Pumpkinhead, good one.
Yeah, Pumpkinhead is an awesome film. All right, and then in 1990, switching gears from the monster movie, we have Jacob's Ladder.
Ooh.
Jacob's Ladder was directed by Adrian Lynn, who had not done any other horror movies. He'd done 9.5 weeks, and he went on to do Lolita.
Oh!
Yeah. So Jacob's Ladder is out of the blue. You got Tim Robbins playing this Vietnam vet. For anyone who hasn't seen it, that's about all I'm allowed to say about it for reasons of, I don't know what it's called. I might give something away, but
yeah,
Jacob's Ladder is a really great psychological thriller, horror movie that leaves you kind of ungrounded and
nothing... A real standout performance by Tim Robbins, too.
Yeah, that's what makes me love the guy, even though, his politics are just far too important to him than his acting career. And, when everyone started saying, oh, he's in War of the Worlds and he brings it down, I was like, when I saw War of the Worlds, I thought it was okay, but... It's too bad that the politics gets so far in front of the acting because
That's right.
In Jacob's Ladder, you don't see Tim Robbins. You see this guy going through this horrible experience.
And
this is a great horror film if you're into the psychological. Speaking of, 1990 also brought us at number 14, Misery, directed by Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner.
James Caan and Kathy Bates. This is the second Stephen King adaptation and probably, in my opinion, the best.
Another great movie to watch in the dead of winter, too.
Yeah, there you go. You're in a car crash in the Rockies, and no one's there to save you except your number one fan.
Those are some great performances. Really great performances in that one.
Yeah, I thought, just the two of them. It was awesome. It was a great film. And, I'd read the book, and I am a big Stephen King fan from long ago. I'm not so much into him anymore, but... I used to love reading his stuff, and Misery, I thought was a really good book, but when I saw the movie after I'd read it, I thought, wow, this is the best adaptation ever of a Stephen King, because they have botched so many of his stories, and there are some good ones on here that are missing, like Pet Sematary is not on this list, but it was also a great adaptation.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kathy Bates brings a lot to any movie. Yeah. I mean, she's so intense and,
Definitely. All right, and we're finally up to 15, and I'm probably way over my time here, but at number 15 in 1993, we had Army of Darkness, which is the sequel to Evil Dead 2, which was also directed by Sam Raimi of Spider-Man fame. So Army of Darkness is the tongue-in-cheek sequel to Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, that's almost pure camp.
Yeah, it's a very campy film, not very scary, but fun.
But fun,
it's a good romp, and so I had to include it. In 1996, so we skip a few years, at number 16 we have Scream. This is a Wes Craven-directed film written by Kevin Williamson. And Kevin Williamson also wrote The Faculty, starring Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart.
And The Faculty was a pretty good horror film. I got a kick out of it when I saw it. But
Faculty is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But Scream had everything. Scream was horribly scary, and the ghost character was really over the top, and it had all the knowledge of the genre, and it was all on screen, and everyone knew it. They were all aware of what was going to happen, and so it was so smart that I just loved it. It just tore apart the slasher genre. And, if you see that before you've seen any of these others, then it kind of, I think, loses some of its steam. But if you've sat through these horrible Friday the 13th romps and Halloween romps, and I'm not even talking about Season of the Witch here, but, there's some horror movies that lead up to Scream, and when you finally see Scream, it's great.
Well, Scream is to horror movies what Blazing Saddles was to like westerns and comedy. And everything. Just a real genre buster, you know. I mean, it was smart and hip, and it really knew its territory. So,
all right, we're up to number 17. 1999 gave us Audition. Mikkei Takashi. This is a Japanese film. Have you seen this one?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Audition is a Japanese film. I think it's financed by North Korea as well. But it's this Japanese film about this director whose wife dies, and he and his son are left living on their own, and he's gone a number of years without seeing a woman, and a friend sets him up to pretend he's auditioning women for a film, and so he can hook him up with a date. And it's this very slow, deliberate film that leads him on this path where he ends up auditioning women and finding the perfect woman, and then... The last half hour of this film are probably the most horrifying minutes I've seen on film in years.
You got to stay with it, but the payoff is definitely worth it.
The
definitely
payoff of this film is just huge, and it is so creepy, and it is so horrible. I was appalled. You could never make this movie in America.
No.
This movie would never be made in America. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's sluggish, but the pacing is different than what American audiences would be used to.
I say sluggish. This is not an MTV production.
No, it's not shotgun fast, but by the time you get to those last few scenes, I mean, you just feel like you're rode hard and put away wet.
Exactly. It's like, Rosemary's Baby was done in 1960-something, and I loved the pacing of that, and I loved how it played out. And
sure.
You know, in 1999, you don't get that kind of pacing. You don't get that kind of thing unless you're watching a Japanese film, I swear, or, you know, Hungarian or something. You're just not getting it out of America. But, yeah, I would... Audition is truly a violent horror film, but the death count is not... is nowhere near what a Freddy or Jason film is.
Oh, no.
It's just really psychological and really well done and just really over-the-top freaky. Also in 1999, at number 18, we have The Sixth Sense. I had to include this one, M. Night Shyamalama. I like the guy. Just can't pronounce his name. This is one of four films... This is one of only four films nominated as a horror film for Best Picture in the Academy. Mm-hmm. So you had the others were Jaws, The Exorcist, and Silence of the Lambs.
Interesting.
And the only horror film ever to win Best Picture is Silence of the Lambs. So I really wanted to include it because I really liked it. I saw it immediately. I knew what the big secret was, and I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
I'm not that quick on the uptake. So for me, I was like... Oh man!
You know, when I was in the theater and I heard everyone in the audience go, "Oh man!" I was like, "Wow, that would have been cool to be one of those guys." Because you know, that would have been really cool to have the wool all of a sudden pulled out, and there you are.
Hey, my wife reads mysteries all the time and has to explain them to me all the time too. So
I had it pegged, but I still loved it. I still thought it was the performances were great. The horror in it, the dead people. It was great, you know, the kid who sees dead people. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was really a good film.
Want to see my dad's gun?
Mm-hmm.
that was awful. Man.
Yeah. You know what's funny is Bruce Willis was also in 12 Monkeys.
Yes.
Okay, the boy's name is Cole. Mm-hmm. In 12 Monkeys, Brad Pitt plays a guy named Cole. And in 12 Monkeys, Brad Pitt has a line where he says, "All I see are dead people."
Interesting.
Ew.
Wow. Did not know
Happy
that.
Halloween, everyone. All right. So now I'm going to, at number 19, I'm going to jump to 2002, 28 Days Later.
Okay.
This is a zombie film. Finally, a zombie film shows up. This is directed by Danny Boyle, who directed Trainspotting. And it's got Cillian Murphy, who plays the lead in the film. And he was also the Scarecrow in the Batman Begins film.
Okay.
I left off George A. Romero, mainly because the timing was a bit off for all the Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead. I love Dawn of the Dead. I love George Romero. He's a pioneer in the industry. I didn't love Land of the Dead. I thought Land of the Dead was okay.
Right.
And maybe that's why I left him off my 20 great, you know, horror films. But he created the zombie genre, or the zombra, however you will say it. But see anything by George A. Romero. He invented it, and, you know, it wouldn't be here without him. But I thought 28 Days Later took it to a creepy new level that was really, really well done. And it was a good film.
And it was more claustrophobic in a certain way, too, yeah. which I think made it better.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall, there was some decent nudity in that, too.
You're all about the nudity today.
A little bit. A little bit.
Got to get some nudity going on there.
The kids stay in school.
Yeah. We're all naked at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
I can barely say that with straight face. All right. At number 20 on my list, The Eye by the Pang Brothers. Mm. This is a Hong Kong Cantonese film, another foreign film that, you know, maybe the genre is moving to Hong Kong. But the Pang Brothers directed this film. This is about a woman who gets an eye transplant from a dead woman who had special abilities. And the woman who gets the eye transplant suffers from them. And the whole movie is about what happens to her from that point on. And this is a really great horror film that the Pang Brothers do a great job of bringing you into the character's head and giving you, you know, her perspective. And it had a great horror comic book feel to it where you're given dimensions that you don't normally get in the genre of movies. And I thought it was really a well-done film. And those are 20 great horror films that if you're around on Halloween and haven't seen one, maybe two of them, go see one and send us some feedback and let us know what you think about them. And tell me if I've left anything really, really, really great,
Victor,
off the list.
I got to say right off the top, what about the Hellraiser series?
Yeah, Clive Barker and the whole Hell. I thought about that and I decided that these were just a little better.
How about Shaun of the Dead?
Shaun of the Dead
in some ways
is a comedy.
Yeah, but it can be scary. It's got gore.
Yep.
I mean, in many ways, I think it kind of puts a nice endnote on the whole zombie genre.
I thought of Shaun of the Dead. I think Shaun of the Dead is the nail in the coffin of the zombie film.
I think you're right.
And I saw Shaun of the Dead before I saw Land of the Dead because that's how it worked. And it was a great film. Yeah. It had horror. It had shocks. It had the genre. It's kind of like how some films like Trinity killed the whole spaghetti western movement because they made it funny. Yeah, it's funny.
Right.
I'm Trinity, you know, and he's making fun of the man with no name. And I think that Shaun of the Dead might have just done that for me right when I went and saw Land of the Dead. Because when I saw Land of the Dead, it was well done. It had great actors. It had great scenes in it. But it really, I was like, I'm over it. You know, I just don't think even George Romero could make another great zombie film.
Well, you know, in a movie that I personally found very creepy was the Blair Witch Project. And I don't know if I
should have put it on there.
You know, and it could be just because I'm frightened of camping.
Should have put it on
but
there.
But to me, it's like, okay, you're totally lost in the woods. It doesn't look like it's that much of a forest, but nobody can quite get out or figure a way out, and they just keep going around in circles. And then at night, it's just... Because really, every time I've camped, I just keep thinking, man, I know that knife is going to come right through that nylon. You know, it just, I always had that feeling all the time. So that was a real simple movie that I just thought was really,
you know, I
really
haven't
creepy.
Seen that many horror movies, and I guess when I'm camping, I'm much more relaxed. Maybe that's why.
Not me.
Yeah. No, I know the same thing. I'm not very relaxed, but I still go camping a lot, and I love the Blair Witch movie. I thought that was a really great movie.
Oh,
and
it's a great concept. Super simple.
Yeah. I tried to keep it at 20, and
no,
you know,
that's fine. That's fine.
I kept it at 20, and that's why I call it 20 greats, because I'm sure I'm missing some, and I know I'm missing some really good ones, and that's, no one write me in that Blair Witch should have been on there, because I think, it should be on there too.
And if you didn't catch all those, that entire list is going to be on tankriot.com.
Yeah.
Look for episode 4.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun to revisit those and then put them chronologically and look at the whole way that things created. I always thought that Friday the 13th was this big slasher movement movie, and then I realized after looking at the list, I'm like, no, they were just riding the coattails, and you know, they had some great ideas about Sleepaway Camp, which was another great horror movie, and think about April Fool's Day, My Bloody Valentine. I mean, there were some good slasher films that didn't get on there, but it was good to leave that one off. Any others that you're thinking of?
You know, not off the top of my head. I think that was a pretty good list, though. Yeah. Like I say, the only ones that just jump out at me would be, like I say, the Blair Witch Project. But speaking of John Carpenter, and we could do a whole show just on John Carpenter because I'm a huge fan as well. I think my favorite John Carpenter movie, though, is not really horror per se, though it has that tinge, is They Live.
They Live.
They Live is probably my Rowdy Roddy Piper. He brings so much. He brings the same energy he brought to Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love And They Live how they had the giant WrestleMatic fight between the two heroes. I remember sitting and watching that going, why the heck are these two guys fighting? It's Roddy Piper. And so they fought. And it was only when I saw, and this is when I laughed out loud, is when I saw South Park and the Cripple Fight. And the Cripple Fight was going on.
The Cripple Fight between Jimmy and Timmy.
They're having the Cripple Fight. And I'm like, oh my God, this is shot for shot. They Live. And I knew it in my head.
Absolutely.
And I just kept going on and on and on. And that's when I laughed. I mean, I thought that was so funny.
They Live has got it all. What's interesting, too, is the guy that Rowdy Roddy Piper has that like 20-minute, you know, soccer-rama with. I can't think of the man's name, but he does like so much of the voiceover work you hear on commercials of almost any kind now. I mean, he's just the voice everywhere. And I just love the music. They just keep playing the same song over and over again. It's just over and over. I mean, but it was just a fun, great film. So
that's funny.
All right. I guess to sum up, Serenity, two big
thumbs up for that movie.
Thumbs up.
Absolutely.
I really, truly enjoyed it.
Killer Flu.
Really, truly enjoyed it. Big thumbs up for that. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I don't have it yet.
Killer Flu on the move, but not making huge strides into the human population thus far. American foreign policy in a shame spiral. But lots of good Halloween movies. Have a good Halloween. Stay in school, kids. Hopefully Madison will survive yet another Halloween party.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that one. I'm gonna go out and check out the Hold Steady at the Annex. This is I believe on the 29th with the Constantines and Thunderbirds Are Now. The Hold Steady have
Thunderbirds Are Now.
You should check them out. The Hold Steady are originally from parts of them are from Lifter Puller out of Minneapolis. They were in Brooklyn, New York, and it's a great bar rock, heavy sound. Reminds me a bit of The Replacements. I really like it. And,
sounds good.
Should check them out. I'm going to give a full report on the costumes I run into. I don't know what I'm going to dress up as.
I'm thinking of going as Harriet Myers this year. keeping the beard. I think it'll all work. I have...
I might just got to get eyebrows.
One of them blue suits.
Those I have one
blue suit
that actually fits me.
Yeah.
Right. So I Sputnik will probably go to a couple parties and then stay at home and get sloppy. Tor, your Halloween plans?
Well, we got to dress up the little one as Batman and the little girl. We can't decide which costume to throw her in. Somehow, reason we have three costumes for the 7-month-old. We have a ladybug, Tigger, and a little lamb.
So, take the one with less burp up on it.
Less burp up. Yeah, they're all hand-me-downs. So
you could go political. You could dress her as a stem cell.
A stem cell.
Try to explain that to people. She's a stem cell.
Yeah. Not really looking
to be. Fetus poster.
She's got three costumes already. I think we'll use one of those.
So the boy is going as Batman this year?
Batman again, yeah.
Batman. Excellent.
Yep. Batman Begins.
The costume still fits.
Awesome.
Great. Okay, so we'll give you the Madison Street Damage Roundup for next week's show. And possible repercussions by the mayor and the city council.
Oh, I can't wait. It'll be martial law.
Oh, yeah, because our clocks will turn back. Remember to fall back, kids. This Sunday, Sunday's at Barnes will be open an extra hour.
It's always those out-of-towners.
So, happy Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween. Don't hesitate. Find the job.
means simply following the rules. In this early and troubled stage of the atomic age, our very lives may depend on always being alert.